Blog Talk Radio.
This is Louis Martinet, and I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Gary Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Hair Radio. Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo Events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Forever be new. For all I do is think about you.
two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who'll be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit FixYourFeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Oh my God, I didn't know that, you know, talking about beauty icons would be such a great thing, and people wanted to hear, like, what did I think, and, you know, so what I did was I said I wanted to do a little spin on it. I wanted to recognize the not just the beautiful women, but the beautiful men of this world as well. And it took me a while to get this list compiled down to 10 amazing men, and from very diverse backgrounds, from different points in life and in years and careers. And, you know, we just wanted to find that quintessential list. And if you don't agree with the list, I have no problem listening to you and you telling me, oh, well, you forgot this one or you forgot that one. But I will say I think I covered it very, very well. I did lots of research on different lists that have been compiled by, like, the likes of Time Magazine and People Magazine and different periodicals that, you know, traveled really, really far back to some of the screen gods of yesteryear, and then some of the pioneers in male beauty of today. So the list is very diverse, and I think that you guys are really going to enjoy it. And I think for some of you, it's going to take you back and make you think, and then you're going to say, oh, my God, yeah, he was a beautiful man. So so I think that we are ready to start. Are you guys ready?
Oh, we are so excited. All right.
So, like I said before, this list, it might be a little interesting, but I'm pretty sure you guys will agree. So the very first list of our male beauty icons has been referred to in so many different lights as one of the greatest actors of all time, and his name is Mr. Marlon Brando. Marlon Brando is an American actor, film director, and activist. He is hailed for bringing gripping realism to his roles, and he is widely considered as one of the greatest American actors of all time. He won two Academy Awards. One was for On the Waterfront in 1954, and then, of course, his iconic role in 1972 as the Godfather.
Streetcar. Oh, that's right. Now, he was also the Streetcar Named Desire, right?
Mm-hmm. But he didn't win an Academy Award for that one, though.
Oh, okay. Wow. And that's his most famous role, I think.
Yeah, and he actually was nominated for 8 Academy Awards. So he's probably nominated for that. He is the most nominated actor of all time. And I started to take a picture of him, but I need really to get you why that's considered being the most attractive man of all time. So
I can relate to Marlon.
I love photos of him. And I would say that's a title very well earned. The first thing that I kept looking at was this boyish, devilish grin. So I'm pretty sure he was not, I don't think that he was a playboy, but if he was, I think he would have every right to be.
Well, I'll tell you, do you remember, like, all that I can remember, I certainly knew of him during his life and when I was a little boy, but I remember Marlon Brando as Superman's dad. That's how I remember Marlon Brando. Yeah, he played Superman's dad in the original Superman movie. And he was the father. And we also remember him being a close friend to Michael Jackson. So he got a lot of press. Michael got a lot of press. Michael Jackson was very close to the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we certainly remember a whole lot about Marlon Brando towards the end of his life. And so just amazing. So I can understand why he is a good choice. It may not be all about so much about exterior beauty, and that's always in the eye of the beholder, but he has led, you know, he had an extraordinary motion picture career, and that was just, you know, so impactful and went way beyond the motion pictures. So good choice.
I think it was a good choice. Yeah, as I was researching some photos of him, I noticed that he did, in his younger days, have like a very structured, almost model-esque type face. So there was definitely some qualities that would be very eye-catching. And like I said, in researching, I know of Marlon Brando and I knew of his work, but these earlier pictures really grabbed my attention. So I would say he does deserve to be on this list. And one of the features that I noticed about him is that his eyes are actually downturned in the corners, which people consider like a puppy dog eyes. And I read that that was one of the features that, you know, women found really attractive in him was his eyes. And there was a quote from an actress, so I don't want to say her name, that said that he had the type of eyes that would make you do anything that he wanted. And so I'm going to go have surgery so I can have those type of eyes too.
Well, we think you already have great eyes. You don't need to do that, right?
Well,
yeah,
we'll think about that. But I'm so glad to add Mr. Marlon Brando to this list. And let's go to the next movie actor to grace this list is the iconic forever teenager, Mr. James Dean. James Byron Dean is an American actor, and he is most known for his role in Rebel Without a Cause. In which he was this rebellious teenager. And now, looking at photos of him, I just saw if he was to be in this day and age, he would completely be a model because his face, he just had that structure that he had very full lips as well and almost pouty lips. And like I said, those features were so distinct and very good hair, too. I noticed that a lot. He had very good hair, and actually, he was what I would consider the Brad Pitt of those days. A very when I saw these pictures of him, because he did die at a very young age, so he is basically forever immortalized as being young, and he just had this beauty about him that was so striking and even intimidating. Because
sometimes
you have to step back and say, wow. Even if you're secure in who you are, you have to say, well, maybe I need to step my game up the way this brother looks. And
exactly. Well, he was such an extraordinary, even his acting ability and what he, the way he appeared on screen kind of channeled certain angst in his portrayals and depictions of the characters he played. He was someone who, like you mentioned, he died way before his time, and I think he co-starred with Elizabeth Taylor, and I've seen a movie or two of his. There were so many rumors and oh, so many different things. I think that when he passed away, when he died, I think that all of that just takes on a whole new level of interest in folks. And out in Hollywood, they have nothing but these wonderful, iconic folks that you are talking about, like James Dean, because there's such a mysterious mystery that an aura of mystery, I should say, that surrounds these folks in death as they have lived. So just great choice. Wow, you really go back. Old Hollywood.
Yes, he had great lips also, just like Brando. I like the lips. Yes.
Okay, Pearl Walker. Let's make it clear that came from Pearl Walker. All right, Demetrius, good choice.
So I'm going to jump to what some people have considered, and many have considered the first black sex symbol of all time, and he is the legendary Mr. Harry Belafonte. Now, Harry Belafonte is a singer, well, was a singer, songwriter, actor, and social activist. If you look at photos of Mr. Belafonte in his youth, you would see such a striking man, hazel green eyes, beautiful skin, amazing teeth, just classic, and so many Hollywood producers were almost afraid to use him in films because they felt like if he was the co-star that he would actually outshine the actual star because he was just that good looking. And even in his later days, still kept that air of
swagger. Well, he's still around with us for sure.
Yes, absolutely. And just the swagger and class. You don't see him much now, but, just this swagger and this class about him that is just so attracting, and it just draws your eyes to him, and you just wind up staring.
Exactly.
If you look at these, if you do some Google search on photos of him from his earlier days, you would just, gorgeous black man. Gorgeous.
Harry Belafonte, as you pointed out, was and has been just on our scene, the entertainment landscape for many, 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 many years. And as you said, being one of the first male sex symbols for our community, and beyond that, being such a voice for, political, concerns. He's had a long-lasting and indelible mark on our community and the world for that much. But I also know Harry Belafonte, a great family man. We even remember, Pearl Walker, you may remember, one of his daughters was even acting. I wonder what happened as well. Just a full her name. I want to say Heather, but I'm not sure. So Sherry Belafonte Harper, I think it was. And so he really just put those genes out there, believe me. So good stuff. Just a beautiful person inside and out, obviously. Good choice. Wow, you're going back. You're going back, Demetrius Smart.
Well, these first five men that I selected, I consider them classic, and then the last five will be what I consider more new school. And so number four, I don't think would be a surprise to anyone. He is referred to as the king of rock and roll. It is Mr. Elvis Aaron Presley. Elvis Presley he is one of the most significant cultural icons of the 20th century. Like I said, he is often referred to as the king of rock and roll or simply the king. And I would say in his younger days, I can't claim to be an Elvis Presley fan, but I would have to say those moves in some of his younger movies, Mr. Presley would definitely make you a fan. He had these beautiful, piercing brown eyes, this lip snarling curl that he used in lots of his photos where his top lip kind of did this interesting thing, but it drew your attention in.
Oh, the quiver,
exactly.
The famous lip quiver.
And he took so many photos like that, but he just had this, I want to say dreamboat kind of thing about him. And I understood why he had so many women names attached to his. Because he definitely was a playboy in his heydays, and he was an icon that we did lose too soon because we lost him before he even turned 50 years old. So
that's right.
You know,
well, Elvis had lived an extraordinary life. He was one of the biggest names in rock and roll music in the world, and a lot of what Elvis said, yes, there were a lot of controversial ways that folks in our community looked at Elvis for different things. But I have to say, because it's believed in part that a lot of the music that he did was kind of pulled from, you know, inspired by people of color. And so that was one argument. We heard all kind of rumors swarming around about Elvis, you know, supposedly thinking that folks could just buy shoes and buy tickets. And we've heard so many different things. We don't really know what to believe. But the one thing I can honestly say is that I actually agree with your choice. I think that what Elvis did for entertainment was wonderful. And he broke a whole bunch of barriers, and he inspired an entire movement and generation. And the only person I think to exceed Elvis Presley, and we'll talk about that in another segment, but I think there's only been one person to exceed him when it comes to generating money and death in terms of entertainers. So good choice, you know, Elvis. And Elvis also, you know, was a serviceman, so we also want to acknowledge that. And very interesting. Wow, you really have gone back. Each choice
and also
is amazing.
You know, he's buried at Graceland, which was the mansion where he lived, and it's on Elvis Presley Boulevard, which is also Highway 51.
Now, isn't
and
that
it's
in
about
your town,
a mile
Pearl
and a
Walker?
Half. Yeah, right here. It's,
oh my God,
it's a mile and a half up the street from my salon. And actually, I have a neighbor who relocated here from Wisconsin, and she's a big Elvis fan. You all would just be amazed at the following that he still has in 2015. She has a life-size mannequin in a case in her living room with an Elvis costume on it, jewelry, the gold chains that she got from Elvis's jeweler, and it's just an amazing following that he still has. I don't know if you all know it or not, but Graceland is the second most visited home in the United States after the White House. It's just an amazing
mark that he left
on society and
now,
the world.
Graceland is right there where you are. Is that correct, Pearl?
Right up the street from my salon, yes.
Do you see the buses riding past your shop?
Yes, and the tourists, and this is every day. And then we're
Pearl,
inundated.
We're going to have you to
Go
fess
ahead.
Up. How How many times have you been to Graceland?
I've never been to Graceland.
You have, Pearl.
I'm going to go.
Okay, because we think you've been there a few times, Pearl.
But there's an area around the mansion, and I've visited those other, you know, some of the other tourist spots around the mansion, but I've never been in Graceland. And about Elvis's hair, I have to share this. Elvis was a natural blonde to me, Theus, but he dyed his hair black.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've never even heard of anybody doing that.
He was a natural blonde.
He was in the movie Love Me Tender. He was blonde in that movie. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Then that was his own hair?
That was his own hair. Mm-hmm.
We'll have to check that out. Wow. And that's a great song. Who can forget Love Me Tender? Well, listen, folks, if you have just joined us, you, of course, are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and with me on the line today, my wonderful co-host, Ms. Pearl Walker, of course, and our Wednesday contributor to the Hair Radio Morning Show. He is the makeup czar, as far as I'm concerned. His name is Demetrius Smart, and you guys know him. He's with us each week, and you've got your own fan base, Demetrius. You really do. And they chime in every week to listen to you right here. So I want to pass that along to you. And just it's such great, wonderful honor to have you with us again this morning
on the show.
Yes. Now, today you're counting down the male icons. And so I'll let you continue. This sounds wonderful.
Okay, so the last icon of the classic era, this one was a bit of a stretch, but I feel comfortable with this one. And he is considered as the first ever Latin heartthrob, and his stage name was known as Ricky Ricardo, but professionally he is known as Mr. Desi Arnaz. Desi Arnaz was the husband of the late Lucille Ball, and he was a popular singer, dancer, club performer, and if you were to look at videos of him, because actually when he originally started doing the I Love Lucy, he was already in his 40s. So if you were to see videos and photos of him while he was in his 20s, you would see a man that easily rival any silver screen god at the time. He was another actor with really good hair, an amazing smile, that Cuban flavor that had that spice to it. So he had the look of a classic movie actor. However, he had that Cuban flavor that just set him apart from anybody else during his time. And him and his wife, the comedic legend, Lucille Ball, actually caused a little bit of controversy because at that time, a lot of people considered their marriage a mixed marriage because her being a Caucasian woman and him being of Cuban descent. And, you know, to see the two of them on screen together, I don't think you could honestly appreciate one without the other. They truly played off of each other in a magnificent way. Their show, I Love Lucy, plays every day somewhere in the world since both of them have passed away. So it just goes to show that this man's influence has still gone on way after his time. I've heard in an interview that Ricky Martin and even Enrique Iglesias referenced Desi Arnaz as an inspiration to them.
Well, you know what? I think that is an amazing choice, and particularly for me. I love that. I think that Desi Arnaz, I would have never expected him to make your list, but I can still see why. Desi Arnaz was someone who made such an impact in the entertainment world. Going back to what you said, it is reported that the networks did not want Lucille Ball to have Desi as her husband because of that so-called mixed marriage And it's always been alleged that he was, so they wanted to cast someone else, someone who was not of Cuban descent, as her husband. But Lucille stood her ground, and not only that, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz formed Desilu Productions, which went on to produce so many other shows like Gomer Pyle and so many other TV shows that we know today. But the biggest contribution to all of entertainment and to television specifically is that Desi Arnaz, and this is something I don't have to go on the internet, I remember this and know this in my head, Desi Arnaz created something called, they created the sitcom, if you will. They created it in this way. Until they did what they did, they only knew of using one camera. So Desi Arnaz created this thing where they use three cameras. So to this day, we use three cameras to record a TV program. Three cameras, that format, that's what was created by Desi Arnaz. And so, yes, Lucille Ball went on. They stayed together for quite a while. Lucille went on and she married someone else, and Desi, you know, they lived a good little while, and they were big folks from Beverly Hills. They lived in Beverly Hills, I seem to recall. And I happened to be in Los Angeles back in the 90s when Lucille Ball passed away. I was at the Arsenio Hall show, and they flashed on the monitor that Lucille had passed away that day. You know, at that moment when we were in the audience, I was sitting in a dog pound in the old days. We were on his show, and they showed it on a monitor that she had passed away. So I went back to Hollywood Boulevard after Arsenio's show wrapped at Paramount Studios at that time, and on Hollywood Boulevard was Lucille Ball's star, and her star was located in front of Frederick Gastillas, in front of Frederick's of Hollywood. And so, and I remember, and on her star, they placed the big wreath stand and all of that. With and fans started to leave things, and I saw that there when I came back to Hollywood Boulevard. So I will never forget that. And we love Lucy, to put it mildly, and we love Desi Arnaz, and he is an amazing choice. His son, Desi Arnaz Jr., is still going strong, and so is their daughter out there. So they're doing some great things, the great Lucille, I think, Lucy Arnaz. So great, great choice, you know, and such personal memories for all of us. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, guys, so we're going to jump into, so that those top five men, Marlon Brando, James Dean.
Great classic choices. Wow.
Harry
Belafonte,
Elvis Presley, and Desi Arnaz are what we consider our classic male beauty icons. But now we're going to bring
it
to the new.
Hold it. I'll tell you what. Why don't we do that? It's a perfect time for us to take our music break, give you a chance to grab your coffee, and when you come back on the other side of this music break, I think it'll be perfect time to go into your, I guess, your contemporary side of the list.
Absolutely.
How's that?
Great.
All right, folks. Well, listen, we are going to take just a quick music break. Won't take very long at all. And when we come back, we're going to kind of we're going to have some more of this wonderful list of your iconic folks. And then don't forget, we have got to we've also got to get the update on what happened at your show, the Living Doll Show. So stay with us, folks. There's a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show, featuring, starring Tamethia Smart, coming up after this music break. Stay with us.
had was what I needed. Now I see the game. God's been dragging my name. You put on the show. Tell the music slow. God all up in my ear. Same things that I love this year. Tears came to my eyes, but I'm not gonna cry. Everything that you ever said turned out to be all lies. But it's all good.
It's all good.
Didn't care that you broke my heart. It's all good.
It's all good.
You have it, you hit the run, but it's all good.
It's all good.
You played my love for fun. Well, you played the part to get my heart. Damn, it hurts, but it's all good. It's all good.
It's all good.
Didn't care that you broke my heart. It's all good.
It's all good.
You have it, you hit the run, but it's all good.
It's all good.
You played my love for fun. Well, you played the part to get my heart. Damn, it hurts, but it's all good. You had her in my car like she was a star. You promised I would be if I satisfied all your needs. I feel like a fool, cause I trusted you. Did what I didn't want to do, just cause you wanted me to. I gave you my soul and I just don't know why. Couldn't I recognize you were my life? My girls out there, just cause he says he cares. You can't believe everything that it fits in your ear, but it's all good.
It's all good.
You didn't care that you broke my heart, but it's all good.
It's all good.
Well, if you have it, you didn't run, but it's all good.
It's all good.
Hey, you played my life for fun. Well, you played the part in my heart. Damn, it hurts, but it's all good.
It's all good.
You didn't care that you broke my heart. It's all good.
It's all good.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is about 7:35 in the morning on Wednesday, April 22nd, 2015. We are so excited to have with us, of course, my wonderful co-host, Ms. Pearl Walker, and Mr. Timotheus Smart. You guys know if it's Wednesday, it is time for Timotheus. All right. So you are the makeup star, Timotheus, and again, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now you, yes, good morning. Now, you have already put together an extraordinary list of male icons, classic male icons so far. So right before we went to the music break, it sounds like you're about to get into, well, you're continuing with your list, but I think you have some contemporary folks, if I'm not mistaken. Take it away.
Yes, so just a brief recap of our classics. Were Mr. Marlon Brando, James Dean, Harry Belafonte, Elvis Presley, and Desi Arnaz. So our number six meets us somewhere in the middle of the classics and the new school. And he is what I would consider one of the smoothest men I have ever seen float across the screen. He stole our hearts in Mahogany and Lady Sings the Blues. I'm talking about the one and only Mr. Billy Dee Williams.
Woo-hoo!
Wow.
This
Billy
is Dee. And I'm going to age myself right now, but this is Mr. Colt 45 from back in the days when he was just modeling and then going into acting. And he is a man that his influence, his class, his sophistication has gone from back in those days to present day. Mr. Williams is always referred to as a classic, not just a classic actor, but just a class act altogether. You've never heard anything about him being disrespectful or mean or nasty, but he just always carries this air of sophistication, this air of class, this air of just a beautiful man. And to see him on screen with the legend, the boss, Miss Diana Ross, in Lady Things in Mahogany, and I love that ending scene of Mahogany when Diana, Billy Dee is on stage and he's talking about being a councilman, and Diana Ross screams out, "I want my old man back." And I loved it. And I love the chemistry that the two of them share on the screen. And it's something that, you know, just truly, she pushed him to be his absolute best. And I don't feel this list would have been complete without making sure that this man was on this list. And he meets you in the middle of the classics and the contemporaries because he does carry that air of class and sophistication. And I absolutely love Billy Dee Williams.
Well, Billy Dee is all that you said. And I think your favorite line is that. My favorite line is, "Do you want my hand to fall off?" I don't remember which movie it was in. And I just remember that line stayed with me. "Do you want my hand to fall off?" I'm sorry. So you know we had to do our little acting this morning. But great choice, great choice. We also remember Billy Dee for being one of the very first African-Americans to be featured in a starring role on the late-night soap scene. He was in Dynasty. So when we look at these wonderful black characters that are in this hit TV nighttime melodrama soap, now called Empire, they have to pay tribute to the great Diane Carroll, who was on your female list, of course, and to Billy Dee Williams, who both starred in the iconic TV series Dynasty. So we are very excited to acknowledge that this morning. So great, great choice. And he's also a great painter in his own personal spare time. He's an amazing artist, and so in every which way. So great choice.
Okay. So we're going to jump down to a man that we lost much, much too soon. And some people thought that he would actually go in the route of his father and actually one day become president. And we're talking about the Prince of Camelot, John F. Kennedy Jr. John F. Kennedy Jr., was a free spirit, and he never let the legacy of his family boggle him down into be something that he wasn't. He wanted to run his own company. He skated around Central Park with his shirt off, and he was the pea prince, like Princess Diana was the people's princess. John F. Kennedy Jr. was known as the People's Prince, and he was very personable. He started a magazine, a very short-lived magazine called George, and I remember the very first issue where they had the supermodel Cindy Crawford dressed like George Washington on the front of the cover. And he wanted to give a political view from a younger person's standpoint. And, you know, coming from such an iconic family during an iconic time in our history. One of the most classic photos of him is him as a young boy when he was saluting his father's casket that was being horse-drawn by. And we lost him at such a young age. He had just gotten married, and there were so many things in his future. And he was actually one of the first political, well, the only political figure ever to be known on the People magazine as the sexiest man alive. And I believe that was 1989. And, you know, he will sorely be missed. I mean, that was a man that I feel never got the chance to actually shine to his fullest potential. But we know that he's beyond the stars right now. And just the legacy that he left behind, I feel like his mother and his father would clearly be proud of the work that he did. And, you know, just to see photos of him, just he would skate around with these gym shorts and his rollerblades and no shirt through Central Park, and people would say, oh, my God, is that John F. Kennedy Jr.? He just made himself so accessible to everyone else. He lived on the Upper East Side, had a beautiful wife, and, you know, just an all-around beautiful man.
Absolutely, and of course they died tragically in that plane crash. But I'll tell you something about the wonderful family and legacy that he was so much a part of, and creating that. The political magazine, George, was popular at the time, and I seem to remember that, and not just the wonderful John, but also his sister, who's still doing amazing work in the way of education and so much more here in New York, and for the country. I think she's one of the, you know, one of the ambassadors for America. So we are so excited, and such a political dynamo there, their entire family. You know, you don't go into too many circles when you talk about politics and family dynasties that the Kennedy's names are not mentioned. Or the Kennedy name, rather, is not mentioned. So we are so happy that I think you made a really good choice. Interesting. Very interesting.
And he was truly a genuine young man. I have a cousin who attended Brown University with him, along with Rhonda Ross at that same time. And he had nothing but good things to say about JFK Jr. They actually lived in the same dormitory. Their rooms were down the hall from each other. And he was just an awesome young man, definitely.
All right. Interesting.
So, yes, he. I didn't feel like I could complete this list without him. And you're going to jump into number eight. This is one man in the same vein of Billy Dee Williams. I clearly could not have this list without his name on it, and I think everybody knows who he is, Mr. Denzel Washington. So, Denzel Washington
right.
is a two-time Academy Award winner for Glory and Training Day. I love Denzel Washington and Glory, but I honestly feel, and I'm going to make this statement right now, I feel that he was completely jerked of winning the Oscar for Malcolm X. He was amazing in that movie, clearly in that movie. Denzel Washington is the first African-American to ever be called the sexiest man alive on People magazine, and still to this date, the only African-American man to ever win that title. Denzel, the world over, has been known not just for his acting abilities, but clearly for his good looks. I don't know, there was a show long time ago, and I'm aging myself again, where he played a doctor, and I believe it was St. Elmo's Fire.
No,
St.
Elsewhere was the TV show where he was a doctor.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. And I had seen it on Nick at Night. That shows my age again.
Well, it really shows my age if I actually know all these. These are a factoid that I recall all these factoids off the top of my head because I remember them all so well. So very interesting. Wow. Well, I'll tell you, the only connection I have to Denzel was that I remember at the airline at TWA when I was in reservations out in Los Angeles, and he was he would frequently travel to Europe, and I remember seeing the reservation that he had in our system. I didn't talk to him, but I guess he had called and had booked flights with other reps, and it showed that he has a big family apparently. And he was taking everybody to first to Paris first class on TWA. I remember looking at his reservation years ago. Yes, a lot of kids. I do remember seeing that. I don't remember all their names and all of that stuff. But yeah, he's a good choice. He's had such a big impact on us acting-wise. The only other actor I think comes close, but I'm not going to say. I'm going to let you go through your list first. We'll come back. If he's not on your list, we're going to raise sand. And you don't know, the only person I think that should be on that list, I'm not going to say anymore, so I'll let you continue. I love your list. Great job.
Okay, so we're going to jump down to number 9. And number 9 is another one I don't think if I was putting this list together, he would ever be excluded. And he is Mr. Brad Pitt.
Wow.
Brad Pitt, actor and humanitarian. One of my favorite Brad Pitt's movie of all time is Interview with a Vampire and Legends of the Fall. I thought that he was amazing in both of those movies. He was typecast in the beginning of his career, that everyone just wanted him to do like the handsome sidekick. But he wanted to push all of that to the side, and he wanted to be taken as a serious dramatic actor. I mean, I know that everybody remembers him in Thelma and Louise in his younger days, and that was his very first role on film was in Thelma and Louise. And to see him now as a father and a humanitarian and an actor, and he was actually one of the producers of the Academy Award-winning movie 12 Years a Slave. And Brad Pitt just continues to be an amazing man, even well now into, I believe he just turned 47, and
maybe a few years ago.
Oh, my
God.
I think he's
past that point now. I think he's about 50 at least.
Well, when I researched, I saw 47, so I'm going to – I will just say –
No. He's timeless.
He was born December 18th, 1963. That makes him 51.
Ooh. No, ooh. Well, 63, that would make him about 51 at least,
ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well,
okay,
I knew he was older than 47.
Well,
he's looking great, though.
No, but he looks, actually looks that age. He looks much younger than that. So, you know, his wife, Angelina Jolie, of course, we have the great, friend to the show, David Babai, has the stylist for Brad Pitt. He's done Brad Pitt as one of his clients, and Angelina Jolie as well. And you guys know David Babai. He's on our show all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So very good. Oh, yeah.
And,
well, we have nothing but the top
also,
stars here.
And Brad was also the first actor to ever be awarded the People's Sexiest Man Alive twice. So,
really?
Yes, the very first actor to ever receive that award twice. So congratulations to Mr. Brad Pitt. And I would definitely have to say that he is one of my favorites. I absolutely loved him in Interview with a Vampire. I actually saw that movie in the movie theaters. And I haven't been in the movie theater in years. But I do remember wanting to see that movie, and he was just magnetic on screen. So he's one of those that was a no-brainer for this list. Now, the last two, a stretch, but I just want you guys to hear me out.
Okay.
And then you tell me what you think. Now, this man in Soap Opera Digest was awarded the title as the sexiest soap opera actor of all time, and we are talking about Mr. Shamar Moore. Now, Mr. Shamar Moore, I would say, is a very beautiful man, very structured face, piercing eyes, beautiful body. I would say that he clearly deserves that title. I don't watch soap operas often, but when I have seen them, he is one that I probably would want to see on screen. I would say that he does evoke the younger days of, say, Mr. Billy Dee Williams, and I think that he is a surprise on this list. I hope not too much of a surprise, but I do believe that he embodies such a confidence and such a swagger that, you know, lots of viewers of The Young and the Restless couldn't help but vote him to be the sexiest soap opera actor of all times. But I would love to hear your opinion on this.
Well, I love Shamar Moore. I've actually fallen in love with him again as I have become a fan of Criminal Minds last year. He's known for his good looks, and it was always a question over the years, actually, whether he was a good actor or not. Maybe he was just enjoying his success because of his looks. But I tell you, on Criminal Minds, I love his character, Derek Morgan, and he has earned the right to be considered as a sex symbol as well as a great actor. I like Shamar Moore.
Wow. Well, interesting choice. I like Shamar Moore too, generally speaking. And if you're talking about, I guess, in the looks category, I guess he should deserves a spot on the list somewhere. But I think when you look, I think for all the other folks on your list, when you peel back their beauty, there seems to be something else going on that supports and reinforces those good looks. But in Shamar's case, I don't know if you guys agree with me, but I think that I don't see all of it just yet. I think he has a lot more potential to come, and maybe he hasn't had the right breakout role that just mm-hmm. would allow that to match the external, things that we see. I think that, you know, maybe the best is yet to come. And I think that he's probably working on that. So I think he deserves to be on the list. Probably for me, you had how many people on the list, 20?
No, I have 11.
Okay, so if you have 11 for me, he would be number 12. But I love him.
Well, you're entitled to that, yes.
And you know what? And I'm pretty sure when I get...
And
I'm pretty sure when I get back on Facebook, today, I will see so many comments with, why didn't you put this one? Why didn't you put that one?
Yes.
So I'm sure I'm looking forward to it with my breakfast as I peruse Instagram and Facebook. I'm sure I'll see it.
For me, it's been right on behind Elvis Presley. Well, you go ahead. I'm sorry. You guys,
but
go ahead.
Our last beauty icon, I will debate at all costs if anyone says that he does not deserve to be on this list. He is a pioneer in the world of modeling, and I'm talking about the one and only first black supermodel, Mr. Tyson Beckford.
Beckford.
Oh, man.
Stallion.
Wow. Well, you have saved just about for your last choices, I think, are the most controversial on your whole list. I'll let you guys go ahead and lead in. Did you want to say anything else to me, Fiazon?
Yes, and I'm going to defend Mr. Beckford at all costs because this man has set such a trail for himself that so many male models have tried to emulate. He has set the standard for male modeling and has taken it internationally. This was the first face of Ralph Lauren Polo. This man was discovered on a park bench in what is the park in New York? Central Park.
Central Park,
He was sitting down. He is managed by the great Bethann Hardison, and she has guided his career to places that no other male model in the world has ever touched. And when you go down the list, if you Google the greatest male model of all time, Tyson Beckford's photo is the very first one to pop up. And for him to be an African-American male with chinky eyes, dark skin, and a bald head, you have to recognize that. And now, even if he doesn't Now, even if he doesn't have the depth of a career that is that some people would consider, you know, impactful, but he gives you a figure of a way a strong male would look in the modeling industry, but he came in with tattoos. He came in with muscles when the guys were very frail and thin. He came in with a bald head when guys had hair going down their back. And because I come from the modeling industry, I will clearly defend the fact that this man deserves to be on this list, because there are so many people that would say, well, Elvis Presley doesn't deserve to be on this list. But you cannot deny the impact that these people have carried, because if they didn't have the impact, you wouldn't have so many people trying to be them.
Well, we're going to fight about this list next week. We are going to fight about it. Pearl, what did you have any comments on Tyson?
He was a surprise, but I like him. I just would not have thought about him, you know, kind of out of sight, out of mind. But he's had a great career. I think he's eye candy, definitely. And actually this spring he's going to be, yeah, starting next week, he's going to be the guest host for the Chippendales this season. In Vegas.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's out there making appearances. I think Tyson deserves to be on the list, actually. I think it's a good choice. I met his mother years ago. We were at the Valentine's Day party together. And very nice lady. She's very, very nice. I do remember her very well. So she was a great contact. And I stayed in touch with her for a little while. I completely vote for Tyson Beckford. I think that's a great choice. You know who I would have liked to have seen on the list? Or let's wait till next week. Is that okay? We'll talk about it next week.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now my very special guest comes from the world of hair products and just all around beauty. It is my honor to bring back to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Ms. Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. Validate Beauty. First of all, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing, Kerry Hines?
I'm doing just great. And to our amazing fans. Now, they remember you, I have to say, Valerie, they remember you down in South Jersey coming to the big Hair Nation Expo and launching your products and doing all these amazing things. We're just happy to have you back on the show.
Yes, thank you so much. The event was amazing.
Yeah, now I have to tell folks, let's just remind everybody, what does it mean to be someone out there doing your own products at this point?
Well, at this time, especially with COVID-19, I think is an opportunity to reinvent yourself. And I have found a way to do that by simply adding new products to my brand. And I'm coming out with an amazing deodorant, all natural, yes, organic, and I'm very excited about it.
Absolutely, as you should be. Now, officially tell everybody the name, the exact name of your products and all that wonderful good stuff.
Oh, the name of my products are called Validate Your Beauty, and I have a hair strengthening oil. I have a toner for your skin. I also have shampoo, which is called Bite the Apple. And then I also have Smooth Touch, which is a conditioner. And soon, I also will be coming out with the Rosemary Mint, which is really going to be a new added amazing shampoo.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I also want us to carry some of these amazing products right at the Hair Radio Morning Show in our amazing store. Valerie's going to have her own thing set up through all that we're doing and all that she's doing, and we're just so honored and happy. I really am. Look for Valerie's new show. Now, you're going to be launching a couple of shows right here on Hair Radio, the Hair Radio Morning Show. You'll be listening to Valerie talking. We're going to ask her about what she's going to be talking about and give you guys a little preview. And then also on the Salon TV Network. Right now, you guys have the Salon TV Network app, but she's going to be out with her own show that you can watch her talking about some of the things that are important to her and her following. So what are some of the things that you would like to do that you see yourself carving out for you in the way of promotion and just reaching folks out there?
Well, my target audience is going to be 50-plus. I am a woman of 50-plus, and I want to be able to have a platform for women 50-plus to be able to feel that they can recreate themselves. It's like almost a rediscovery. And a lot of times, too often, I hear women 50-plus say, I just want to retire, I'm tired, it's over for me, and I want to change that type of mindset to, and not really change the mindset, but just add to that by letting them know there's so many things they still can do at 50 plus, and all it takes is just having a platform of women coming together and sharing different perspectives, and I think that that is going to open the door for women 50 plus to know that there's so much more to us.
And on that note, I want to thank Valerie for being on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Also, in preparation for launch of Valerie's new show, Validate Your Beauty, on the Hair Radio Network and Salon TV Network and all that wonderful good stuff, we're going to set it up on our app where you can go and ask Valerie. And we'll take those questions and we'll forward them over to Valerie. Simple and easy. Go to Salon TV Network, download the app in the Google Play Store. It's free. We will actually have it there where you can ask Valerie yourself. Thank you so much, Valerie, for being with us. We're excited about your show.
Thank you so much, Kerry, for having me and for supporting my mission. And I am excited to be working with you. And I look forward to meeting some amazing women, signing in and joining my show and really joining with the Hair Nation Radio. And just let's just have a good time and just let's just have some fun. Just some fun.
Something tells me you ain't seen nothing yet. Keep it right here, folks. We've got a whole lot more. Valerie, thanks so much for being with us. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Kerry
Crystal Jones, Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to honor the incredible achievements of Ms. Cicely Tyson. And from today forward, all of our in-studio live guests will wait here to go on the air in our newly minted Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Morning Show Green Room. Stay tuned.
Just like the eyes are the window to the soul, the scalp is the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. The way to obtain it is with Stimulating Roots. Stimulating Roots will exfoliate and detoxify your scalp, promoting healthy hair growth. Stimulating Roots has a system to detoxify and grow your hair. Their shampoo combines menthol, camphor, and pink grapefruit essential oil to improve blood circulation in the scalp. Their conditioner, that stimulates, moisturizes, and hydrates the hair. The regeneration oil, that contains essential oils that work together to promote hair growth while calming an itchy, dry, and irritated scalp. Open the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. Awaken the senses to your scalp with Stimulating Roots. This is available at StimulatingRoots.com. That's StimulatingRoots, R-U-T-Z.com.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It is Friday morning, May 7th of 2021. It's our show number 559, show number 559. And it really is our Mother's Day celebration show. Mother's Day, of course, is Sunday. And we're just taking a moment or two to recognize the extraordinary efforts of moms across literally everywhere, the world, that is. And in doing research for this particular broadcast, I said, look, you know what? Like so many of you guys out there, you may not have an idea of who really was behind the idea of Mother's Day, the true origins of the holiday that seems to be commercialized at this point. It's a very, very interesting story tied to the lady who started it all. And we have some information about her that you don't want to miss. So coming up throughout the broadcast, we'll be recognizing the amazing efforts of moms everywhere. And I want to start today's celebration with the acknowledgement and recognition of my own mom, who really was the mom of nine amazing children, who I am so proud to be one of those. And just want to say to Mrs. D. Hines that she was just a great lady who really instilled the very best in all of us. And we wouldn't be doing this. There would be no Hair Radio Morning Show had there not been for the extraordinary mom, my mom, who not just, you know, brought us into the world, brought me and my siblings into the world, but also instilled the importance of education, of information, of being able to nurture your God-given talents. And so by doing so, it was the inspiration, really, that I was able to go and do all these amazing things. So I tip my hat to you on behalf of all of our listeners everywhere to the extraordinary efforts of my mom. And so I just wanted to make sure that was recognized. Also, along the same kind of idea, I do want to dedicate the show in addition to my mom, of course, but to my dear brother who passed away long before his time. It's been a very, very long time. He would have been literally pretty much turning into a senior citizen at this point had he lived. But he died early on in his 20s. And his name was Reginald Hines, and we just miss him very much, as we all do. And his spirit goes on, as we have been able to do, and I hope we're making everybody proud here at the Hair Radio Morning Show and our fans around the world. So thank you again. Now, coming up, got a lot to talk about on today's broadcast. We have a lot to do. And we invite you to call in. This is a good time to jot our phone number down. If you are listening online, you can dial in. You have to hang up, or I shouldn't say hang up, but you have to dial in using your home phone or cell phone. Call 516-453-9458. 516-453-9458. Press the number 1. That's our indication that you would like to speak to us. I would love to hear your mom's day stories right here on the broadcast live. We're here till 9 o'clock Eastern time today on this Friday, May 7th of 2021. Really, really glad to have you guys with us. Also, got some announcements about the Road to Healthy Hair workshop. We've been hearing a lot from you guys on that. I want to talk about Black Hair Month. Some of you have been mentioning about that in recent days, and I wanted to address some of the information about Black Hair Month. And so many other things, everything from looking for our co-hosts to just a whole laundry list of items that we'll get to. So, you know, throughout today's show, again, we are celebrating moms everywhere, I really have to say, and I'm very grateful. Now, I do want to take a moment to introduce you or reintroduce you to this one lady. She talks a lot about women, and I thought that would be appropriate for this particular show. And she's been with us many, 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 many times in the past. Sometimes her comments can be interpreted as a little controversial, but I think that she's saying the things from her heart, And I think that it'll resonate with ladies and women around the world. So I think today it's an appropriate. Now, the interview is, it was on our shelf, so we're dusting it off to kind of air it for you today. The lady's name is Gloria Lee, and she really goes in to talk about the importance of women, and I thought it would just be perfect. And then I've got some other wonderful surprises coming up, all about Mother's Day and helping to celebrate the Mother's Day story. And we're going to start with the lady behind the entire Mother's Day movement, if you will. She's got a really... You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hine. We have a very special guest with us today. She is an author. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome Miss Gloria Lee. Gloria, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
I thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it is my pleasure to finally get you on our broadcast. Now, I have to just jump right on in. You are the reason we're celebrating the Women of Courage Month all month long. And I like to say this, it's not just this month, but it's every day here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we want to start by you telling the folks all about your beautiful books. You've got two, and they're titled Women of Courage. So let's start with book one. Tell us a little bit, what exactly is Women of Courage all about? Tell us.
I began writing the books because I wanted women to understand how much courage it takes to be a woman. See, our courage is not acknowledged. Men acknowledge their courage. They speak about courage on the battlefield. They speak about courage being a minister, but female courage has never been acknowledged, and that's wrong, and it has been used to enslave women because it does not let women understand the power that they have inside them. And I began writing the books because I wanted women to see other women who have succeeded because they had courage. So I had began to research my mission, actually, when this first started, was to find out why men killed women. So I began researching that. But as I began to research, I began to gather other information, and I began to see that part of the problem was the fact that women did not acknowledge themselves. Women have been told that they're servants, that they're supposed to serve. Correct. That's fine. But they haven't been told that they have a right to be their own person. And because of that, women live desperate lives. They live lives that they hate. They learn to despise themselves. And in turn, they are unhappy. For years, especially between 1920, 1950, women either drank in the basement, they'd have a little sherry every day, and then when tranquilizers became part of the vogue, especially for white women, okay, they began, the white doctors would prescribe them tranquilizers. This was based on the theory that women were hysterical, okay? So this part of their spirit had to be controlled through medication. But actually, what was happening is women were internalizing their anger and their rage because they were forced to live lives that they did not want. But let me give you an example. For years, poor women, poor white and black women, invented things, okay? I bet you do not know who actually invented the refrigerator.
No, tell us.
Don't know who invented, oh, no, I'm not going to tell you. You're going to
look. Uh-oh.
Who invented the bulletproof vest? Now, here's the secret. Men kept that a secret from women, that women invented certain things, okay? That women were chemists, women were physicists. But many of the inventions of poor white women and poor black women were stolen because when they went to have their inventions patented, the patent office told them that they couldn't, females couldn't patent inventions. Did you know that?
Well, that doesn't really surprise us, though, Gloria Lee, because that's, the historical part of this whole context in this country, and that was the charge that they had. And, in fact, as you were explaining this history here, about women not necessarily not being, able to do certain things because they're female. But what surprises me, and I'm sure our listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show can certainly identify, is that you could almost take the word female or woman out of what you're saying and insert the word black.
Both. That's exactly what I'm saying. Any person that was not white. And I have to be careful because this is a radio show and I don't want to be vulgar. But anyway, you had to wear pants, be white and wear pants. Then you were given acknowledgement. But here's the thing. I want you to appreciate this. When the women went to the patent office to have their ideas patented, what happened to their ideas when they weren't accepted by the patent office? They were stolen. That's my point. They were stolen. And then white man walked into the patent office, his information's patent, which he stole from a female or a black person, and he made money off of it.
Now, Gloria, I do have to ask you, because these are some pretty inflammatory claims, perhaps, that some may say. So what kind of research did you have to do to kind of substantiate these claims? Because you've written quite an explosive couple of books here. And folks, if you're just joining us out there, let's be clear. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. This is a very special broadcast. And I'm Carrie Hines. And with us on the line today, we have the author of Women of Courage books, Gloria Lee. And so we love, your forthrightness. But what do you say when folks say, well, how can you prove certain things that you've put into the books? What do you say, Gloria Lee?
First of all, I say take the information from my book and then go to the library and verify it. It's real simple. But when you want to verify it, be prepared because this information is not consolidated, okay? It's everywhere. But you have to go into a library and pull it out of the newspapers. Who wants the world to know that women are as inventive as men? Who wants the world to know that women have as much courage as men? Nobody walking wearing pants wants that because they want the enslavement of women. It's profitable. You here, I don't want to jump ahead, but listen to me. When blacks were brought to this country, the only way they were able to control the black man was to attack the black woman. They attacked her mind. And that is the same way that the white male has been able to control the entire world is by attacking the mind to make a person feel less than or that he's not capable of. Sir, you are as capable of doing anything that you want to do if you want to do it and if you're willing to pay the price. Here, Michael Jordan, let me give you an example. I studied him, okay? When his father was murdered, it upset me. So I began to watch Michael Jordan to see how he responded. Okay, not only is he the hero, he's a black male. And I wanted to know how he was going to react to these two males. But as I was researching him, I found out how he became Michael Jordan. Do you know how long he would stay on the basketball court?
Oh, right, through the study. Yes, I heard. For hours and hours and through repetition. And
yes.
See, Gloria, I was just sharing exactly what you just mentioned. I was sharing that with a gentleman today. And I said, you know, it is through repetition and through study and just all these years of research and just it makes you into an expert at what you do. And you may not even realize that you qualify for that level of knowledge and that
yes.
title, but you do.
That's,
now,
that's
Gloria,
exactly how he became Mike.
I love what you say. I love everything that you have said, and I appreciate you, you know, just letting it just go on out there. I want to start, though, at the beginning. We're going to take a little bit of a turn. I want to go back to really what has kind of set you up to be Gloria Lee. So share with the Hair Radio Morning Show fans, where are you from? Where were you born? And where do you live in these days in America? So share with us some of your background. Where did you get your start?
Okay, I was born in Detroit, Michigan. And
shout out to Detroit folks. Okay, we have to do that.
I was born May 7th, 1945. I would say that there are three people that affected my personality deeply. I mean, I've been affected by lots of people, but it was my grand aunt, my father, and my mother. I had a grand aunt, and the way she earned money, she refused to work in houses, okay? She would not do day labor. She pushed a push cart, and I started working with her when I was six, and I would go with her pushing the push cart down the street, and we would pick up scrap. This is a time when tin and things like that were valuable, and you would gather this stuff up, cardboard, glass, whatever, and you push it to we would call it a refuse place now, but it was a junkyard at that time. And they would weigh the refuge, and we would get paid. Well, see, I love money. So I would always like to be with my great aunt because she would pay me at the end of the day. We would go miles and miles walking, going through refuge and picking up clothing, those sort of things. When we were walking, she would talk to me. This is years later that I realized that she was shaping my personality. The one thing that she told me that I maintained all of my life, a woman is never to be without money. I want your listeners to hear me. If you are a female, you are never to be without money. I don't care if you're hungry. Drink water. That's what she told me.
But why not? Why not?
Listen to me. If there's a choice between eating and spending your money, you drink a glass of water. The reason why a woman is never to be without money is because you don't want to sell your body and have no man put his hands on you.
Mm.
Because that is the destruction of women. Why do you think that when warring factions took over Europe, the Russians, for really example. During World War II, do you know that the Russian army raped every female in Germany between the ages of 8 and 80? Do you know how many females they raped? Because rape is power, and it is to destroy your psyche. So therefore, if you are a woman and you do not have any money, because I was on the street when I lost everything that I had. I was on the street with my son, and all I had was a car, excuse me, and I had no money. And the thought came to me. I was standing in Oak Park on Greenfield and 11 Mile Road. I was standing in the Kmart parking lot.
Oak Park, isn't that Illinois?
No, sir. That's Oak Park, Michigan. It's
Oak
outside.
Park, Michigan.
It's a suburb. It's a suburb of Detroit.
Oh, okay.
And the thought came to me, well, why don't you go with this man and get you some money so you can feed your son?
Mm.
For a second, that idea came to me, because that's an alternative that's always given to women. See, the man tells you, look, you ain't got no money, then you can just sell your body. That's the easiest way to live. It's not. That's self-destruction. So consequently, I want you to understand, it was cold. It was October. I had no money. And I think like a quarter tank of gas. And that, you know, ain't nobody going to know.
Mm.
And then I remembered my grand aunt. That was the other thing that she told me. You let no man put his hands on you. And she started telling
me. So she insisted that you keep, your grand aunt insisted that you keep funds in your pocket, have money. Now,
yes,
what's your grand aunt's name? We should just pay tribute to her today.
Maddie? It was Madeline, but they called her Maddie.
Maddie.
She was about 5'9", 5'10". And
so she stood tall in many ways.
Yes. She was very, very strong, because, you know, pushing that push cart for miles
you
takes
had to
power.
Be. Exactly. Yes. Wow.
And I want you to know that women in China still push carts.
Yes,
you know,
I've been to China.
Yes.
I've been. So, yes, I know. Now, I just want to let folks know, again, if you're just joining us, again, today is a very special broadcast that we're kicking off our entire month talking to Gloria Lee. Now, she is the author of Women of Courage. Now, Gloria, I do want to kind of go back to this first book. I do want to talk about it. The title is Women of Courage. And on the first book, the cover, I love the beauty of the book cover.
Would you be kind
enough to tell our listeners who, if you can name the women that you've pictured, I'd love it if you can just give us a few, if you'd like, talk about those women. And you got to remember out there, guys, for you guys listening to the show, it's difficult to really come up with just a few of you know, women that you feel the most courageous women. So you really are someone who took time and effort and energy into creating this. Would you be kind enough to tell us who some of the women that you put on the cover and why?
Well, I will tell you, one of them is Mother Teresa.
And I have a Mother Teresa story for you, too, by the way. I have a connection with Mother Teresa as well. But, yes, you go ahead. I'll tell you guys a little later. Go right ahead, Gloria. You put Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa is like in the one, I think, the corner, if I'm not mistaken. I love that.
Yes. There's another woman that I put there for a particular reason. I wanted to give recognition to this woman. Her name is Iris Chan. She is an American Chinese author, and I felt that many, many, many people do not know of her work. I'm not going to tell you what she did. I think women should go and find out. Her name is Iris Chan, C-H-A-N-G.
Well, hold it. Now, if we buy your book, if we buy your book, Women of Courage, we're going to find out. Well, okay, that's what we're going to do. We're going to find out. That's where we're doing our research. Who else do you have, Gloria Lee?
Now, I want you to know what she did was very, very painful.
Oh, okay.
And this is why the book is Women of Courage. It takes courage to do things painful. It's not pleasant. But there are things that must be done even though they are painful. Now, another woman on the cover is Eleanor Roosevelt.
Tell us why.
And Eleanor Roosevelt was not prejudiced. And she spoke her mind when it came to black people. And not only did she speak her mind, she did certain things to ensure that people knew where she stood about black people. And again, I'm not going to tell you what she did, but that's
Gloria Lee, you know how to tease. I thought I could tease. No. I'm a distant second. You know how to tease a book. I love it. So Gloria, tell us. Now, you said, and that's great, we got to get the book, Women of Courage, to find out some of these amazing stories that you've assembled and some of your favorite women. Now, who else do you have?
Okay, now this is another person. Her name is, now I cannot really pronounce her name. She was the Prime Minister of Pakistan. Now I want you to understand that was a very dangerous occupation for women in Pakistan. I think her name is pronounced Benzarir, but her last name is B-H-U-T-T-O.
Oh, Bhutto.
Yes. But, again, you need to know what happened to her. It took courage for her to be who she was.
I think I remember her. I remember the story. This one I'm familiar with. Go right ahead.
It took courage to... See, it takes courage to say no.
Right.
It really does. It takes courage.
But I'm not going to tell you what I know. I'm not going to say it either. I'm in the Gloria Lee fan club. And so I'm not going to tell you. You will get the book. The fans of our show, I encourage you to buy these amazing books, Women of Courage. And Gloria Lee, as she's telling you, she's sharing with you a lot of the women that she finds the most courageous and why. And you will discover exactly some you may be familiar with, like my own connection with, I like to call it a connection, but I've never been to Calcutta. But when I really look at the amazing artistry of the work of Mother Teresa, and I remember. My connection with her was that I had a wonderful doctor where I used to work, and the doctor, Dr. Pankow, was just somebody that I spoke with on a regular basis, and I loved it. And Dr. Pankow sent me a picture of she along with Mother Teresa. And that meant the world to me to have the both of them on one picture. And I used to talk to Dr. Pankow every day. And that's how I was most connected to her. And she told me all about, she went out and went over to, I think it was Calcutta with with Mother Teresa. And this was amazing. And I kept that picture for a long time. And I've always felt a certain kinship with her. And also the same with, Lady Di, but that's another story. So that was just the fact of how beautiful it was when I saw Mother Teresa on the cover of Gloria Lee's book. amazing. And great choices. The women you've selected, amazing. Amazing. But you forgot one.
Who?
Gloria Lee.
The deepness, did you? Oh, my God.
Gloria Lee.
I didn't touch Gloria Lee. I've been forced to. Several women have been forcing me to because they told me that I have to talk about myself.
You have to, Gloria.
I've been told that. A friend of mine is insisting that I write about myself.
Yes, because you know what? You share amazing stories about these wonderful women, and they were. Everything that you have described and you put into your books and more. But what really makes it interesting is the story that you tell of yourself through your eyes. And there's only one person can tell that story, and that's Gloria Lee. Now, folks, I have to say, when I kind of discovered who you are, I was quite moved. And it takes a lot to move me. I've been doing radio programming for 2.5 decades. And to discover someone who has been just working tirelessly to educate, inform women, and particularly women of color, and you resonate. And our stories kind of coincide because that's all that we've done. My platform has been to do it through the hair and beauty industry. And so I am so honored to have Gloria Lee with us. And I'm also honored to declare this month as Women of Courage Month. And not just this month, but every day here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, Gloria Lee is our guest today, and I want to kind of go back a little bit on this as well. In that book, you make a dedication. And so this first part of many series that we're going to explore today was just an introduction teaser to the many parts and that we have of Miss Gloria Lee. So we're real excited about it. But I do want to pay tribute. Now, this is a touching dedication in your book that just moved me, and there's a part that I'll share with you in just a moment. But can you tell us, and I want to make sure I say her name correctly, Allison, was it Pipemeyer?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us who Allison Pipemeyer was and what she means to you and why you decided to dedicate the first book, the Women of Courage book, to her? Tell us why.
When I learned of her, I was researching women who had been murdered in the Carolinas. And I saw the announcement of her death, and I began to research some of her work. And what pained me so much is that we lost such a caring person. This woman loved people. You could tell it from her work. You could tell it from the things that she did. She didn't just work an 8-hour day. She worked tirelessly writing for various publications, talking to her students, advocating. Do you know how hard it is to get people to advocate and to stay focused? That's a lot of hard work. And this woman paid the price. And all of her life's work was to help people in need. She took on some very tough problems in our country, and she didn't back down.
I do want to say, just to let everybody know, because I think this is so critical and important and can mean so much to folks. Allison Pipemeyer was the director of Women and Gender Studies and the associate professor of English at the College of Charleston. Now, she contributed a column for the Charleston City Paper and wrote several editorials for the New York Times Motherlode blog. And so we lost her back in 2016, ironically on my birthday, from brain cancer. But what I love about what you wrote is that she dedicated her life to writing about these subjects that you talk about, such as same-sex parents, women's rights, raising disabled children, Black Lives Matter movement.
Yes.
And at the time of her death, now she spoke into the future. And this
there
is what she had to say.
Yeah, you got it.
She wrote,
"I
do presume to know what a next life would be like. I don't even know what to imagine. In a next life, I hope I would be in a place where people would need me, where there's something meaningful to do. A next life without work, without purpose, would be disappointing." And so what really stayed with me when I read this, and I had to write it down separately and apart from all of my research with you, Gloria Lee, I wrote this down because what she writes is that it takes courage, or what she said, it takes courage to live. Courage to wake every day and try to make something of your life, knowing you will meet unfathomable challenges. And that stays with me because that is not just can every woman relate to that, but every person of color on the planet Earth. We get up, we decide to go forward. And you have the winds just blowing you and you're just barely holding on. So Gloria Lee, I want to thank you for introducing me to Miss Allison Pipemeyer. And you can research her yourself, AllisonPiePmeier. So thank you. And I'm saying to you, the easiest place to research her is when you read Women of Courage by Gloria Lee, books 1 and 2. So, Gloria, please tell the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show how they can get a hold of your books.
Okay. They can purchase a book on my website, which is touchedbythelight.us. Now, the books are not sold in bookstores, and I will not sell them on Amazon. When you purchase any of my books, a portion of that money will go to help women directly. I believe in walking up to a woman with children and asking her, "How can I help?" There's a lot of women that need automobiles to get back and forth to work and also to protect their children. So 30% of this particular book, the Women of Courage series, is going to go to help women. And I explain that on my website, that it is very important that we support and encourage women to stand up and take control of their lives. And when you reach back and just give somebody a helping hand, an acknowledgement, you'd be surprised how you can change your life. And that's the purpose of Women of Courage, is for this book to change lives.
Well, I think you've heard it first right here, folks. Gloria Lee, the author of Women of Courage. And I tell you, your website, touchedbythelight.us, wonderful. I love it. Just fantastic.
Thank you.
So you're doing some great work out there. Again, you've been listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. My guest today, author Gloria Lee, again, Women of Courage. These are the books that we're talking about, and she's been sharing quite a bit of information with us today, and this is just the first part. We've got Gloria all month as we celebrate and continue to celebrate Women of Courage. So now, not today, we are going to tease it. But the next time you join us, Gloria, we've got a lot to talk about and where we go forward from here. So those are things that, that's one of the biggest things that we're going to kind of, you know, corner and ask you about the next time that you're with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're going to be checking in with you for all kinds of wonderful things. And I just want to say thank you just for beginning to kind of, you know, let us peer into your world a little bit and why and how you have come with these wonderful, wonderful things. We also, next time, want to talk about several signs of courageous women. And so there's so many different things that we're going to share. So, again, now, I do want to say this. Gloria is also a member of the Hair Radio Social Network site. So let's be clear. You can connect with Gloria Lee if you are a member yourself. And how do you become a member? It's free. Go to www.hairradio.com. Very simple, HairRadio.com. Hair Radio is how it's pronounced. It's free to be a basic member. You can go there. You can collect friends, so to speak. You can just type in Gloria's name, and you will connect with her. L-E-E is her last name. So it's very simple, and she'll pop right up. And send her a friend request through the Hair Radio social media site. And so this is going to be exciting because we're going to put some excerpts there. We're going to have her books there where this comes all back to Miss Gloria Lee. And she can continue. She can continue her fight. So listen, Gloria Lee, I just want to say thank you today. Any last words for this portion of our talk that you want to share with our audience or leave with our audience before we say goodbye today?
I would like for women to go to the dictionary.
Or nowadays Google. Remember, we got Google now.
No, I want them to go to a dictionary.
Okay, and read. It's about the reading.
Thank
okay.
That's exact. I don't want someone to do
I
the work
figured
for
it.
Them.
Yes. Yes.
And look up the word courage. And then for yourself, write down 10 examples of courage exhibited by women. 10 examples. If you cannot write down 10 examples in less than 5 minutes, then you do not know enough about women.
Hmm.
You should be able to write down 10 examples of courage exhibited by women, and you should be able to do it in less than 10 minutes.
Well, I can certainly think of one, Gloria Lee, because you know what? It takes courage just to talk about what you're talking about. It takes courage. No, it really does. This is not some, you know, far-reaching, you know, notion. I mean, it really does take courage to stand up and talk about the things that you're sharing with us today on the Hair Radio Morning Show and through your Women of Courage books. And if you had not written them, we wouldn't be celebrating Women of Courage this month. You've already talked to folks before you even opened up your mouth. So, Gloria Lee, I just got to say thank you. I have to say thank you on behalf of all of us at the Hair Radio Morning Show, on behalf of the fans, on behalf of the folks who you've already touched. We're going to have you back, and we're going to continue this amazing, amazing walk.
I thank you, Mr. Hines. I really enjoy talking about this subject. It's close to my heart, And I truly appreciate your giving me this opportunity and forum to reach your readers and your listeners.
Absolutely. And this is just the beginning. We're not going to let you go that fast, Gloria Lee. This is just the start of something big. Okay, so I want to thank you. And also, folks out there, please use these hashtags, Women of Courage. Hashtag Women of Courage. Hashtag Gloria Lee. Hashtag The Hair Radio Morning Show. And remember to go to our social media and leave comments at www.hairradio.com. Again, that's spelled HAIRADIO.com. There you can connect with Gloria Lee and find out all about her wonderful, wonderful books. Again, Women of Courage. Gloria, have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for being with us.
I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Back at
you. Have a great day, sir.
All right, folks, keep it... It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new movie talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's movie talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
This is Louis Martinet, and I listen every day to The Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones-Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on The Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's The Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Carrie Hines. This is your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Friday morning, May 7th of 2021. It's our very special Mother's Day broadcast, and I want to thank you so much for being with us. It's been an amazing show. We've been able to inject the Mother's Day spirit throughout the broadcast this morning, and if you missed any part of it, please, please go back and take a listen. You can go to our archives on Blog Talk or look at my Facebook at under the name Carrie Hines, of course, or the Hair Radio Morning Show. And, take a listen. I think there's some great things that we were able to kick off with this morning. Now, I promised all morning long that we would kind of take a look back at how the holiday actually started. I was just blown away to find out that Mother's Day actually started by a woman who herself was not even a mother. And it's just an amazing story, and I really encourage you to take a moment and look at the Wikipedia on her. Her name is Anna Jarvis. Now, Anna Jarvis was born back on May 1st of 1864. So we're talking a very long time ago, but maybe not as long as you think. She lived until 1948. Now, she was the true founder of Mother's Day in America. And her mother had frequently expressed a desire for the establishment of such a holiday. And after her mother's death, Jarvis led the movement to the commemoration. However, as the years passed and she grew rather disenchanted with the growing commercialization of the observation, so she actually attempted to have it rescinded. In other words, to have it taken back because, and not only that, she actually ended up dying in a sanitarium. And it was really quite interesting. Her medical bills and the folks who paid her medical bills were those who were in the floral and greeting card industries. I want to say this again very clearly. She was kind of, they kept her in the sanitarium because she had tried to rescind the holiday, the commemoration for the holiday, and what led to this big movement, they kept her inside the sanitarium. And the people who paid the bills to keep her in the sanitarium in those days, it was the floral and the greeting card industry. So who are the biggest beneficiaries? Now, her entire life, Anna Jarvis did not benefit from the Mother's Day commercialization as everyone else did, particularly the floral and the greeting card industries. And I say there is a huge story here. She died, again, at the sanitarium, which is what they used to call those places where they would have the homes for folks who were mentally ill. So this is an amazing story to me. Now, Anna Jarvis herself was not married and didn't have any children, but her inspiration obviously was born out of her desire to acknowledge the amazing, mom that she had. So for many, many folks who are celebrating Mother's Day, who themselves may not be moms in the way of sons and fathers and the like, but this is really critical. It's nice to recognize that everybody had a mom. So very, very important. Now, one of the other things I did want to mention for those who this, because I find it fascinating, and I'm sure you guys out there might think the same, I'm hoping. But one of the interesting things about this whole Anna Jarvis story, before I kind of move along a little bit, is that the whole thing with the flowers, I was trying to figure out, well, where did this thing come from about carnations? You know, you always have the carnations and the on the women's dresses or whatever to commemorate the holiday. So here's the story behind the flowers. Now, her mom, she really started with the carnation flower, and this is because she wanted what the flower represented, the white flower, what it represented to her, what it symbolizes. And here's what it symbolized to her in her words. She said, its whiteness is to symbolize the truth, purity, and broad charity of mother's love, of mother love, she said. Its fragrance, her memory, and her prayers. Now, the carnation does not drop its petals, but hugs them to its heart as it does. And so to mothers, hug their children to their hearts, their mother love never dying. When I selected this flower, this is news, Anna Jarvis talking, she says she was remembering her mother's bed. And so this is really quite an amazing story. So it's that kind of connection she had to the carnation flower. And that's why today you see so many women, the red flower is to recognize that the mom is still alive. And so that's what it is. And the white flower is to, let me just make sure that I get this right. Let's see. Yeah, that's correct. It says here, by the 1920s, as the floral industry continued increasing prices of white carnations and then introduced red carnations to meet the demand for the flower, Anna Jarvis' original symbol began to become reappropriated, such as the red carnation representing living mothers and the white carnation honoring deceased mothers. And that's kind of where we are today. Now, in closing out that story, she attempted to counter the commercialized holiday celebration. She did not support that. Now, what it says here, she attempted to counter these commercial forces, creating a badge with a Mother's Day emblem as a less ephemeral alternative to the white carnation, it says here. Now, all this is out there on the internet, and it says her negative opinion of these commercial forces was evident, temporary commentary. So it's just an interesting story, and I really encourage you to check it out. Again, her name is Anna Jarvis. She really is the true mother of Mother's Day. And again, she was not a mother in the traditional sense. So just really quite an amazing story. Listen, we're going to keep it right here. This is the Hair Radio Morning Show. We are live again on this May 7th morning here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Our broadcast number 559. And we've got a lot to get to today. We're talking about the Road to Healthy Hair Workshop. We're talking about our brand new website at hairradio.com. So if you need to go there, again, it's hairadio.com, just one R. Coming up, more Mother's Day talk. And again, just a very special interview. I wanted to get this on for those folks who had asked, again, to replay Miss the one and only Miss Melba Moore. So stay with us. We've got more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We have with us a very special legend returning to our broadcast this morning. It is my honor to welcome back the amazing Miss Melba Moore. Good morning, Melba. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I have to say, first of all, you were kind enough to grace us with an appearance right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're talking about 5 years ago, so it's been a little while since, you know, we've seen you, but we've been following you.
Right, great.
Literally following you. We've been following you on social media.
Well, I was going to say, that's how you do it on the internet now. You follow people.
Exactly. This is true. Well, we're so excited. I mean, first of all, you have a big hit record. And so we're honored to have you talking about this right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show with just your adoring fans and folks, again, you know, with the audience out there. What can you tell us about your new record and how did it come about? Just doing me.
It's what people call house music, which is a very, 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 very popular dance genre. There's several different genres now. I mean, a lot developed since back in the late 70s, and all we had was disco.
Right,
that was
exactly.
Different genres. And probably it's going to develop more since people are kind of shut in, and they have, you know, more time to focus on things that, well, we need joy during these times. We need to have something to lift us up. We might be dancing around our house, but it's necessary.
That's very true.
I've always considered, you know, entertainment to be something that's kind of a staple. It doesn't come first like your rent and those, you know, loop over your head and stuff, but you have to have joy. You have to have entertainment. And so, like, for this to happen to me, especially as I'm approaching my senior years, is kind of amazing.
Oh, well, listen, let me tell you something. That song, when I heard, I couldn't believe my ears. It kind of, what I love about it, it kind of has a vibe that kind of mixes a whole bunch of genres that we have known in the past with all kinds of new infusions of sounds. I was like, whoa, okay. So this is why I believe, Ms. Moore, that it is connecting with a lot of the youth out there. In my opinion, but it's good for everybody.
One of the things that really strikes me about it is George Pettis's piano solo. That's very reminiscent to me of when we first had modern jazz, and you had people like Horace Silver, Thelonious Monk. I mean, playing the kind of jazz that we had never heard before. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's something you've heard before or not. When you first hear it, it's going to say, oh, look at that. I like that. And I think that's maybe what's connecting with the young people. It's not something
that's
you
right.
have to have heard before for it to affect you that way.
Exactly. Now, I want to go back. One of the things I remember after our last interview, and it happens every so often, we'll have great guests like yourself. And the moment that we are finished with the interview, I say, oh, I forgot to ask about that. I forgot to bring that up. So I have listened back, and I said, oh, my goodness, I've always wanted to talk to you a little bit more about different things in your amazing career. And to me, and so many others out there, you know, you really came through and got a great position in the entertainment world, which was so, it's rare these days, you know, let alone, you know, several years back where folks were, you know, just not so open and willing to give folks just coming into the industry a chance, and especially people of color. So, yeah, so when you look back at this career, and I've seen all of, well, quite a bit. You've done a lot, okay? You have a true career out there in the entertainment. What do you say when you, even just fans like myself, we all, you know, look back and we ask you, what's the biggest question you kind of get about your career? What do people most want to know about, and I have my suspicion of what I think they most want to know about you, but what do you say? What's the number one question that the fans come up and talk to you about when they get a chance, about your career, because I know what it is, I think.
They usually want to know, when did you really know that you could sing and that you were in control of yourself, that you had it going on? And I can't answer that question because I still don't know that. But that's the number one question. I guess I give off, it's not an illusion, but the sense of being really confident and, you know, having a clear idea of, you know, what the industry is about and just be in charge of things. And it's not that that's not true, but I really feel like I've been led by God because everything that's happened to me, I really didn't know what I was getting into, but it turned out right, and I had a sense, oh, I want to try that.
You were not fearful to try. And
well, I was scared to death, but I went in.
Well, we wouldn't know it. We would not know it. I mean, you really are a trailblazer. You're a trailblazer, and which, you know, that's what we all see and hear. You mention your name, everybody knows who you are, everybody. And what I also want to focus on for a moment is your career on Broadway and being a Tony Award winner. So that is a big moment.
No, it's huge.
So we have to talk about that. So tell us again, because this was, and it, again, these are things that are still rare today in the community out here,
yes.
And they don't
yes.
happen just to any old and everybody. So how did this come about for you, Melba? Tell us how it came about.
Well, I'll try to kind of
give us the
point so I can actually start from the beginning.
Okay.
It's two things to just give you kind of like a an outline of what happened.
Sure.
My mother was a professional singer, but she had a romantic interlude with my father, who was a big band leader. His name is Teddy Hill. It was Teddy Hill. She got pregnant, had me, and so she was a single parent, which meant I had a broken family like many of us do. And she was out trying to take care of me and her mother, who had strokes, they were from Bessemer, Alabama. So she brought her up to New York and had her with me, and we had what we used to call a governess or a nanny.
Yes.
And so my mother was gone all the time, so and I didn't have a father there. So it was like very unstructured, well, like it should be, family. So I was raised by a nanny who was orphaned, illiterate, and from the backwoods of South Carolina, moved from one sharecropper farm to the other, and somehow made her way up north, and that's who I was raised by. But my mother put me in Catholic school, so I had a great beginning of education in New York City,
yes.
And I think that's why that stayed with me. I'm still born again, and that's my focus, and I think that's why things really happened for me still. But then she married my stepfather, whom she formed a performing act with, he was a piano player, and he just passed away 3 years ago, but at 101 years old.
Wow.
So I really have a zest for life. Got to hold on. He always said, never give up.
Wow.
And he had a son and a daughter by a former marriage. His first wife had passed away. And I used to pray for a sister and a brother because I'm one of siblings, and I was very, very lonely. So we moved from New York to Newark, New Jersey, where I continued my family life and learning how to be really the first community that you're in is your family. And learning to fellowship. I have now aunts and uncles and cousins. I had a family. I wasn't isolated and disjointed that way. A lot of damage had been done to me in some abuse because there was no father, no mother there. But that was all remedied. And then my parents really insisted that we get a good education. So that continued. But by the time I got to like junior high school, well, before that, because he made us all take piano lessons, we discovered I could sing. So he didn't make me take voice lessons. He made sure I continued with my piano lessons.
Mm.
But by the time we got to junior high school and it was time to figure out where you're going to go to high school, I discovered Arts High School in Newark, and I had fallen so much in love with music that I decided I wanted to see if I could get in there, audition there, and major in music and really focus on music. And I did that, and then when it was time to go to college, I wanted to go to Manhattan School of Music or Juilliard or something like that, but we didn't have the money, and I didn't have the confidence or the information to try out for scholarships. So I went to Montclair Teachers College to major in music education. Makes a long story a little bit short. Then I went into the public schools of Newark, New Jersey to teach music, and I happened to be a gifted teacher. But I didn't want to teach. I wanted to be a performer.
Exactly.
So I asked my dad to take him around to some of his colleagues to get me into the industry as a musician. And one of the first people I met was Valerie Simpson, who was at some music publisher's office, and we were both in the waiting area to meet our prospective people that we were going to see. We exchanged numbers, and she got me started in studio backup singing work, where you sing what used to call oohs and ahs. People have a
session.
They hire backup singers.
Yes.
So she was at the top of that part of her industry. She's always been a great entrepreneur too, and great leader as well as great musician. It was before her and Nick, of course, were married. We were at the very beginning of our careers. And
wow.
And on one of the recording sessions, a very talented musician by the name of Galt McDermott, who is a keyboardist and the composer for the music for the Broadway show Hair, was doing his performance of the music, and he was being assisted by Jim Rado and Jerry Ragney, who were the two male stars of the Broadway show, and they had also written the book and the lyrics for the song, the book for the music, the story, and they were the two stars. And the session went on for about 2 weeks or so. First of all, I was what I call a Black American princess, a bat. Only thing I knew about Dippy is what I had seen on TV. But these two gentlemen, Jim and Jerry, were hippies. And like one of them, he had bright red, bushy, curly hair. He looked like his fingers were stuck in a live drum. He was wild and crazy looking. And he didn't have on no shoes. And to make a long story a little bit shorter, after the session went on for a couple of weeks, he came up and asked me if I would like to do hair. But I had never seen a Broadway show, and I never heard anything about hair. So I said, well, I don't have a Bachelor of Arts degree in music to do nobody's hair, so no. And so he explained to me that it was going to be a Broadway show. I said, oh, okay. And that, you know, really basically they had been auditioning for us if we wanted to be a part of it because they were still casting for it. So I went and sang for the director and the producer. I got a part in the show. I wound up doing one of the featured parts, which was a parody on The Supremes. And to make a long story a little shorter, before I left the show, I auditioned for and got the female lead in the show. And in so doing, I became the first Black actress to replace a white actress in a lead role on Broadway. But the actress just happened to be Diane Keaton. That's
wow.
To give you a little bit of what happened to me. It's not like I knew what I was doing.
Well, that
is
just
learning
amazing.
On the job. And
wow.
Then just to go on how I got into the position of getting a Tony Award, I was reminded by one of the girls in the chorus that I really did not know how to audition because that's not like an audition.
Right.
So she said, you need to learn how to audition. She told me about auditions for what turned out to be my second Broadway show, and she explained to me that when you go up for a role, you try to do some research on it, but you can get a script ahead of time, and you do what they call typecasting, where you try to look like the part.
Hmm.
Well, the part was from the backwoods, illiterate, cotton chopping, sharecropping girl, like the lady who raised me. So I was a shoo-in for that part.
You had a real life person to draw from. And,
yes.
Wow.
And that's how I got the role, and then eventually, of course, got the Tony Award, and that really catapulted my career into a lot of television work. And after that, I met my later then husband, who really focused and redirected it into the recording industry, and is the reason that I have this wonderful, huge catalog of great, 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 great songs and several, you know, several different recording hits.
Absolutely. Kind of well, I love the story. Now, let me ask you, though, did having the success on Broadway, how did you avoid being, shall we say, typecast in a sense, that, like, once they say that you're a Broadway actress, a Tony Award-winning actress, we can't market you or cross, you know, move you over to a recording, a successful recording career. How did you avoid that not happening, so to speak?
So it did happen.
We went
to some of the top recording artists who were managers, and they all turned me down. So then my then-husband, Charles Huggins, said, well, let's figure out what we can do ourselves. And we just started inquiring, going to the different festivals and, conferences,
right,
what's going on in the industry. And seeing, as a matter of fact, my then-husband got me back into the industry because I had lost everything by then, by taking me to the Metropolitan Opera House eventually. We didn't know what we were doing, but we formed it. We then, you know, got people like Van McCoy to record. He got my record deals for me. The first one was with Mercury Records with the Art Cast. No, that was Buddha Records. And eventually with CBS Records. And he went out and formed what we called Hush Productions. To give me a business team. And we became entrepreneurs that way, and we had to do it ourselves because the industry is so racist and so divided that if you didn't fit into that little category, you didn't have a way. So you had to make a way yourself. I don't want to go on and on and on, but that's basically how we started. But eventually we managed most of the R&B recording artists, R&B ones, during the 80s. We started,
wow,
like with Freddie Jackson, and he kind of opened the way, and he was a wonderful songwriter, and he was a word processor. He wasn't even
wow
in the industry.
I remember those.
Imagine that talent, right? He went out, and we got Kashif, we got Paul Lawrence, we managed McFadden and Whitehead.
Wow, that's saying a lot. That is saying, and just an amazing a group of artists. Now, I have to say, you really know everybody. You've worked with everybody, or you've had some kind of interaction, or done tours, or what have you. You've done things with folks out there. I mean, I saw the pictures with you and Lena Horne and all these amazing artists, just amazing. Well, they were all in great company as well. But how do you feel now when you see that the industry is, in my words, it's a little different. We'll talk about that. But how do you feel? Where, you know, we don't, those stars are just not so prevalent as much anymore, you know, with that level of just something so, you know. So how do you feel about, how do you feel
about
that?
I don't know. I don't think I agree with you, Carrie. I think it's very, very, very different. But I'll tell you something. For an example, I was one of the wonderfully privileged people to be invited to Oakland House at a celebration of what she called Oprah's Legends. And I was sitting across the picnic table with my daughter. Then this beautiful young lady she had such a soft voice. And I didn't hear because I was chomping on my chicken wing.
Uh-huh.
My daughter said, Ma, stop, listen. That's Halle Berry. I said, oh, I'm sorry. How you doing?
Wow.
I mean, you know, like today, Halle Berry's like the latter-day Lena Horne.
Yes, she is. Oh,
or
my gosh.
Or a type of, you know.
Oscar-winning Miss Halle Berry.
Like that. Or oh, I know. We were having lunch, and, oh, I can't think of her name now. But Oprah said, okay, she had the waiters bring these gifts to us. And they were at the table, and I heard somebody crying, oh, 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 and it was Debbie Allen. And on one
oh
side,
my gosh.
It was Natalie Cole. I said, well, what's going on? What's wrong? And we opened the box, and it was these huge diamond earrings. And all of us were just gasping. I mean, things have changed a lot, but our icons are amazing. I mean, I've been to see Chaka Khan perform. And I said, how can she do that? But then she has the stamina of a man. She can play the drum.
Oh, I didn't realize Chaka could play the drum. Wow.
We have ridiculous talent today. There's a young lady, I don't know what her name is, but I was just honored at something called Black Women on Broadway. And she's playing the role of Tina Turner. You have to be an actor.
Oh, yes.
In order to
I know who you're talking about. She's just amazing. Amazing. Yes.
We don't know her name yet, but I'm sure we will.
Yes, we will. We'll definitely know her name. She looks a lot like Tina, too. I've seen Tina in concert, and I saw the young lady who's playing her part on Broadway, and she's just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. And just to be able to move like that, my goodness. Well, you
How
know
about
what?
Holding the gun?
Oh, listen, she is just, isn't she the record holder for Tonys for women? I mean, or
she's
for people, I think.
She ain't got room for them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she is. But I love her as well as her acting, too. So.
Every time you turn around, she's on Law and Order. It don't even
that's
have nothing
true.
To do with music.
That's true. And her other show, the one that's on CBS on the series, they have a... She does the lawyer show that's out there as well. She's just got a big career. You guys know you can always Google her. Now, let me tell you, Melba Moore, first of all, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We're welcoming back a true legend. Just legend across the world of entertainment, the one and only Miss Melba Moore. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day, Miss Moore, to be with us.
Such a pleasure.
All right. Well, now I have to say, let's turn back to this amazing song, Just Do Me. My question, how did it come out of this idea as well about the, because you did mention a little bit at the top of our piece today about the, being at home and kind of being alone and kind of forced to being left to our own devices. Can you talk a little bit more about that, Just Do Me, because we just love this song.
To me, the heart of why it's successful, we had no idea that, you know, the virus and the shut-in were going to happen. We did this song quite a long time ago, but sometimes you just have to wait and be patient. You don't know what's going to happen. As far as me, as a senior artist, things are so different. It's not like you have a record company that can control everything, and you have an A&R person, and you have a whole team, and you're not really allowed to go out and do anything with anybody else. It's a very independent entrepreneurial environment, not just for the entertainment industry. And I have worked with George Pettis, who's just he's the one who's playing the piano on this, but he's a great songwriter. He writes a lot of the songs with his wife Angela Pettis. But the important thing is, see, they didn't ask me how much I was going to pay them. They're artists. They just got together and said, "We want to do this." They brought me to their house where he has the studio. And this is the songs I wrote for you. So we just experimenting, trying to see what's going to work. And I sang this song among many other songs. He took it. He said, "Well, I'm just going to go see what I want to do with it." Well, I didn't hound him to say what he was going to do. I had never heard of Terry Hunter.
I listened to the remix of it. Yes, I love that. I love it.
Terry Hunter, they do what they call mixes, but I would call them arrangements. Because the drum beats are very, very important to what the feel is going to be, what the dance genre is going to be, the tempos. George took the music and continue to work with it and tweak it and rearrange it. And then I find, you know, a little letter of agreement with them that we'll split everything three ways. Other than that, there's really no detailed, complicated contractual agreement. In other words, just honor.
Love it. That's just artistry.
And because they are such geniuses and so great at what they do, and we trust each other, I have this huge hit.
Wow. Well, we're loving it. And we've been running it on right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Just
thank
you and
you.
Me. We love it. We love it, Ms. Melba Moore. We do need to ask you, what's next for you, and what are some of the things out there? I know that you're doing quite a bit of things. Anything you want to kind of give us a little preview on for the fans of the show?
Well, we're kind of watching it each day as we go.
Yes.
And, of course, because the song is so successful, it's going to direct a lot of projects that I'll probably be able to do virtually and learn how to I'm continuing to learn how to do, you know, videographic selfies.
Yes, our favorite thing.
You're going to have to help me out with the hair, okay?
We'll take care of that, Melba. We'll take care of that. And I always say, because we tease you when the last time you were with us, we were like from hair to hair radio, literally.
Right.
So you've done it. You've done it.
We're just taking it one moment at a time, but I have a lot of things that are being offered to me now, and I believe that singing and musical performance is the centerpiece of my life, and it's a calling. It's not just a job. So that when I make that the foundation and the centerpiece, I'm sure I'm going to write books. I'm going to do other merchandising. I'm going to do a clothing line because I pay attention to that, and we work with honor with wonderful people till great things happen. And there's going to be a whole other series of opportunities just online, I think, that didn't exist before. But a lot of other things are going to shut down. They just won't be able to do it because they've been designed for crowds to come into place, these huge crowds. You can't really do that anymore. That's going to change a lot. So we're going from day to day.
No, but thank you for that. And I just want to say the last question I have for you today, there was a because you mentioned about being from Newark, New Jersey, and there was, of course, the amazing Houston family. Now, you guys, didn't you know the Houstons and Whitney and her,
well,
amazing family?
I'm a very close friend with Dr. Sissy Houston.
Yes.
And, of course, my heart is still breaking over the passing of Whitney. It was like I lost a family member myself. And but she's been like just I'm laughing because she's so like what do I call it? Real she's not fancy.
Well, Sissy Houston, let me tell you, I had an opportunity to get down to her street naming. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and we we're based out of Jersey. So, you know, East Orange and Bloomfield and Newark and all that is in our, you know, in our wheelhouse here. But what I loved about it, she had everybody there performing. And at the street naming ceremony at the New Hope Baptist Church there. And it was just awesome.
Yeah.
And just she's just an incredible voice still. And so that's what I love about you. You guys are just, your voices are amazing.
But, of course, now, once again, you know, that's a Christian family. That's what's first.
Mm.
They were all gospel singers, and, you know, we kind of understand that God owns it all.
Yes, that's right.
You don't know. You might see Sissy on the moon yet.
Well, we love everybody, the whole family. And Dionne Warwick
has
been on our show.
You know Dionne's part of that family, right?
Yeah, well, Dionne, she's been on the Hair Radio show. Her sister was, Dee Dee was also on our show twice. So
yes,
I interviewed her twice.
I was a friend of Dee Dee as well.
Yeah. I just love everybody. North Jersey, all that whole area, you guys, we love it. We love it. Miss Melba Moore, anything you want to leave us with today? Anything you want to say before we sign off?
Just be positive like you are. I'll keep your hair tight, baby. Okay.
All right. I'm loving it. All right. Just doing me, Miss Melba Moore. Thank you so much for being with us and taking the time. It really, really means a lot. And we're going to shout out Ryan. Thank you. And thanks so much, Ms. Melba Moore.
All right. Thank you, Carrie.
All right, folks. Stay with us. We got...
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now we have standing by a very special guest who's been with us many times. Well, she was an official announcer right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Mary Reed Johnson from Hairhead, hold it, Hairhead Heart. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning,
did I get
number
it right?
550. Oh my goodness. Carrie, what do you don't do? I love it. Congratulations on number 550.
Oh, thank you, Mary. Now I just want to remind everybody, because you are so instrumental out there, your radio show, talk show host in your own right, as well as just doing so many wonderful things. You're a hairstylist. You've been in the hair business many years. You have hair, the three H's, hair, head, heart. Can you tell us real
hair,
quickly?
Hair, top down.
Tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind, real quickly, for all of our listeners.
Sure. Hair, head, and heart, like I said, top down. The things that I am probably most connected to and passionate about, I think everything relates to all of those three, whether it's safety or health or, you know, career, all of those three things, I tie them together, and that's the name of my little business.
Well, I am so excited because just the fact that you have helped us to get to the 550 shows of the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. So I just want to shout out to you, Mary. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, this is a great place to learn, and so I appreciate you in spades.
Well, listen, back at you. All right. Thank you, Mary. All right, folks, keep it right here. We've got more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special guest joining us today. She's been with us before. Her name is Crystal Jones Bond, and she's with Assuage Hair and Body.
Hi, everybody.
Yes, I was going to say it's my honor to welcome you, Crystal. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes, it's nice to actually have you back on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's been a while. So for you sharp-eared listeners out there, yes, Crystal was with us before. And Crystal, I want to kind of just jump right on in. You have been running, yes, you've been running an amazing company, a business. And I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about your book and the company itself, the salon. First, tell everybody where you're located. Where's your shop and where's all that wonderful good stuff? Where are you guys?
Okay, so I am from and operating in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And my salon is Assuage Hair and Body. And then I also have like a product company, and I have an education company, and it's all under RCJ Bond LLC. And I just wrote a book also, so you nailed it. You've been keeping up. And
yes.
I wear many hats, so I just call myself a hair entrepreneur. It just covers everything.
Well, wow, that sounds just awesome to me. I love that, and hair entrepreneur. And I always shorten it to just hairpreneur. I just love it. Well, listen, I tell you, it's with this amazing time that we're in right now, and folks at the salons have had to deal with so much. How are you guys coming along in the state of Tennessee? What's going on there right now with the salons, if you would?
Well, we are still, you know, being very COVID savvy out here to make sure that everybody stays safe. And we haven't had a whole lot of problems with, you know, just that part. But, you know, the salon is doing really, really good in the state of COVID, even though, you know, everything has been kind of cut in half to keep everybody safe.
Now, have you had to raise your prices just to kind of stay up there and, you know, and keep the doors open?
A little bit, but not by much. I wear so many hats that I haven't had to exactly do that, but I do know of other stylists that have had to do that. With everybody, you know, the rent and everything that's going on and working at half of your clientele, some people are for safety, like I said, and just, you know, everything that's going on, some have, but I have not yet.
It's
not over, though.
Oh, in case any of you guys out there haven't heard that, just, that is awesome. I love that. But I will tell you this. I will say this, you know, and Crystal, we've had a lot of folks who, of course, a lot of stylists on and a lot of shop owners. One of my favorite that I recall in speaking with one of the stylists and owner during the height of the pandemic, I remember asking about, you know, I just assumed that folks, like in my neck of the woods here in New York, that, you know, we would understand that we might have to pay, you know, higher prices. You know, and that was just a given. It's not even something we really, you know, I can certainly speak for the folks in the Northeast that we even really thought about. We just automatically assume, okay, you know what, when I go in my own to my barber and to my folks, I just automatically, you know, take out, I never even know what the actual price of whatever I'm getting it costs. Because
really?
You just pay and, no, I don't have a clue. I just pay and just give money and go. And I've been doing that for a long time. But then I am the owner of Hair Radio.
Right.
But that's another story. But what I love about the person who was on, and she cracks it because she said, I'm thinking that everybody, like I said, wants to pay more and the clients, you know, understand that. But what caught me off guard was that she said there were some clients who actually expected to pay less.
Yes.
Is that right? I thought I would fall on the floor. I was like, really? What?
Well, I mean, looking at it from every perspective, honestly,
yes,
I mean, some people are out of jobs. Some people are downsizing their hours, you know, because of COVID. And so they still want to get their hair done, but, you know, they're on a budget. They want to keep their hair healthy, but they can't afford it. So it's like, okay, what can you do for me as far as a stylist is concerned? But then on the other end, being a stylist myself, it's like, but I got to eat food.
I love it, Crystal. That's why you're so dynamic. You know, you look at all sides, and that is just absolute heaven. Listen, folks, if you are just joining us, you're listening to the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Terry Hines. My very special guest with us today, her name is Crystal Jones Bond, and she actually has a shop out there, Swage Hair and Body. Now, she's located in the state of Tennessee. It's my honor to welcome her back to the show today, and we have a lot to get into, Ms. Crystal, quite a bit to talk about. Yes. So first of all, I want to kind of talk about the cosmetic aspect of your business, the cosmetic chemistry part, because you are certified. You can help folks out there who are planning to get into their own product line. They can kind of reach out to you, and you can consult them. So this is something that is super, super big in my book. And we just want to tell folks that this is something that you're able to help them with, because a lot of folks, believe it or not, Crystal, have no kind of idea. And so just even to have somebody to, you know, kind of point them in the right direction, I think they'll find amazing. So tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
So about last year, I had my own product line, and I was working with somebody, and they just shifted in a different direction, and I was like, okay, what do I do? And I Googled it, and I researched it, and I went through the course of getting my certification for hair, you know, hair cosmetics and products and stuff. And so after I got certified, then I started to work on formulas and just do my whole product line myself. And it has just been liberating, and understanding what oils do and what this does and what that does and sulfates and just, you know, all the words that we know, but we never looked into deeply, totally made sense, started to click. And so it's one of those things I really am enjoying now because it's something new that I didn't know. I love new stuff. If I didn't know it, I'm deep diving in. And it's just been a blessing to even have under my belt at this point.
That sounds just awesome. So we're loving it. And we're going to make certain, we're going to make sure and tell you guys that you can certainly let us know here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll talk a little bit more about that with Crystal's contact information. And, Crystal, we're going to shift gears a little bit. Want to talk about the book. We know that you've done a book. Tell us all about it here at the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Okay, so the quick story with this book, it was 3 years in the making.
Wow.
Like, I went to this Stylist Making Millions, Million Dollar Stylist, that's what it was.
Okay.
And it was a seminar, and she was like, hey, you can write a book about your niche, about your field. It kind of lets you know that you are, you know, that person that people need to turn to. And she was like, what are you going to write a book about? And she turned to me, and I was just like, and I went home. I went home, and I was like, she wasn't talking to me. Write a book. No, ma'am. I really started to, like, marinate on that, and then I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. So my book is called I Want to Go Natural, Now What? Because my specialty is natural hair. And it really just talks about all the questions that women have about their natural hair. I have such an overflow of clientele that I can't get to everybody. And so I do consultation after consultation, and they all ask kind of like the same questions. How do I get my hair to grow? What products do I need to use? What am I doing wrong? Why is my hair so dry? And so I put all of those questions, those answers into a book. And it's on Amazon right now. And it launched like around Thanksgiving.
This past Thanksgiving, which is just awesome. So what we're going to do, we're going to invite you to come back and we'll go through, yes, we're going to actually highlight you and your book. So we're hoping that you'll cover some of the content live on the air to benefit the listeners out there who would just love to know a lot more about natural hair and all of your incredible talent. So we want to definitely do that for that, okay? I think that'll be just awesome. Yeah, and that's what this is all about. This show is designed to help everybody, whether you are a professional, hairstylist, barber, wherever you are along the hair spectrum, and certainly even for the folks who are enthusiasts, whether you're not a professional, folks who just love hair and beauty folks. This is what this is all about, and we're so honored to have you with us today. Guys, again, if you're just kind of tuning in, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. My guest is Miss Crystal Jones Bond. I'm going to say that.
Hi.
Bond. Yes, of a swage. Yeah, so I'm loving all of this. And one of the other reasons I wanted to invite you on the broadcast today is that we have started 2021 with something called Year of the Woman. So this entire year, yes, we're super hyped and excited to recognize the amazing contributions, particularly of women of color, to the landscape in hair, beauty, entertainment, education, the STEMs, whatever. We feel that there's been so much that women have contributed to, and we want to take a moment or two to recognize that on our show, on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we're excited to say you're one of the first, if not the first, to talk to us about being the Year of the Woman. How do you feel about the contribution of women to the world, if it were? What would you say?
I would say that it is the year of just seeing women in every aspect of the world. We are now, you know, getting into more politics. We're getting into more corporate jobs. We're making our own businesses. And women wear, just like men, but women wear a lot of hats, you know? So they cook, they clean, they run businesses, they take care of kids, they make it to the soccer game and basketball game. And so I am honored that you are celebrating women this year because we are just doing big things and everybody is just looking and saying, okay, this is going to be amazing.
Absolutely. And I want to say, if you could name one woman who inspired you, and I know there might have been many, you know, I believe that, but what, who would you name? Who's the one woman that you would say really has jumped out and to lead the way for Crystal Jones Bond?
Who jumped out? I would like to say three, if I could.
Okay.
My mother, of course, God rest her soul, she passed away like a year and a half ago. She was a single mom, and she was a teacher, so she absolutely loved kids, loved education, and she did a whole lot in her community to instill just education in kids and made it so fun. And so that is number one. My grandmother, number two, she is an awesome lady, Ms. Nell Hudson. She's an awesome lady because she helped out with everything, you know, as far as cooking and cleaning and just, you know, making a well-rounded human being. Thanks, Kenny. And then my the third one I would have to say is my aunt, Ola Hudson. She is also an educator, and she in Nashville, Tennessee, and she has done amazing things in Nashville and throughout just all over. She is just huge because she taught me definitely how to just do things, like not really, I mean, stay in the will of God, but like just go and do it, just try it. And so all these women are very fearless. They taught me how to just, okay, focus, go do it.
Absolutely amazing. Well, I'm loving this. This is just absolutely awesome to me. So folks out there, we're going to share this hashtag because this is what we're going to do. We're going to have you to put your comments and who inspired you. What lady or female inspired you most? And the hashtag is YOTWW. Again, YOTWW. It technically stands for Year of the Woman Wednesdays, which is when this actually will be airing on a regular basis. So we're so happy right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So listen, Crystal, what's next for you? What is next?
Ooh, what is next? That's a good question. Honestly, I want to, because I just said a lot of women in my family are teachers, so I do wear that hat as well. I love education. I love hair education and cosmetology because I actually used to teach at Paul Mitchell, the school.
Really?
And I loved it. I absolutely loved it because I got to see that aha moment for, you know, the younger industry coming through. And
having
so,
an impact, that connection.
Exactly. And so I want to put together an online course for stylists for natural hair. And it rolls in my product line. It rolls in business classes, because I do have a bachelor's from UTC in entrepreneurship and business. So, like, all of those things are going to be in this class. It's not just hair techniques, but it also talks about, like, finances. Like, how do you keep your finances? How do you get to go on vacation and not get stuck behind the chair? How do you deal with retirement as a stylist? Because we don't get retirement like that. So there's so many hats and so many things that I want to put in this class that you go through. And so that's my next adventure. That's my next venture out.
Awesome. And I remind the listeners out there that we are And, well, I'm going to just hit this way. Listen out for Crystal's new commercial right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're so excited to welcome you to our lineup, and it's just going to be awesome. So stay tuned for that right here on the broadcast, during our regular show. And so, Crystal, anyone that you want to shout out to before we go this morning?
I want to shout out to my husband. Without him holding everything together, all of my many, many, many adventures would not be possible.
Well, what's his first name?
Oh, Reginald Bond. He's awesome.
Okay, we got to make sure to shout him out. Okay, well, that sounds wonderful. It really does.
And
we'll have to have both of you guys come on together one day.
Oh, that would be amazing. And then the rest of my family, every Jones, every Hudson, every Bond, I just want to say thank you guys for the love.
Well, I've got to say, you are so rooted in family. That's what I'm getting up.
It's that time again to bring this edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it doesn't have to end here. Visit our website at hairradio.com and find out more about today's program's guests. Now, I want to thank our amazing on-air team and fan contributors, and especially our great sponsors, which include FixYourFeet.com, Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, Prestige Book by Mr. Jarrell Glass. Now, don't forget to come meet all of us in person at our live hair and beauty show. It's a HairNationExpo.biz event called The Road to Healthy Hair. It's being held at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey on Saturday, August 21st, 2021, Sunday, August 22nd, 2021, and Monday, August 23rd, 2021. That's three big days. Now, the hours are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at eventbrite.com. The event is for everyone. You don't have to be a hair or beauty professional to come to our show. Let us know if you'd like to be a vendor. Call us. Call our office at 862-277-0686. And again, that number is 862-277-0686. Now, if you're interested in being a guest or advertising on the Hair Radio Morning Show, give us a call. And for those of you who are just starting your career as an entrepreneur, you want to pick up your very own copy of How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. It's by me, Carrie Hines, and is on sale at Amazon.com.